Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Roarcast. Yes, we have rebranded and we had loads of suggestions for new names, but this one kept on coming up, so I had to pick it, the Roarcast. And today, in this episode, we have a great guest for you. As part of the Roarcast rebranding, these particular videos are going to be called In Focus, and it's going to be us looking at some of the YouTube videos I've recently released on the YouTube channel a little bit more closely and answer some of the questions that you guys come up with. This week's video is going to be exploring why metal music makes you calmer, and one of the people I actually interviewed in that episode was lovely Julienne from the metal band Benighted. Julienne is not just a singer, but he is also a mental health nurse, and he has some really fascinating insights. So Tom and I asked him for a more in-depth chat.
Because in their family, most of the time, they have the place of the sick person. Mm-hmm. In the hospital, they have a sick person. In the street, they have a sick person. For this moment, they are a singer, they are a lyrics writer, they are a guitarist, and it keeps them going and fighting against the disease, and it gives them the strength to keep on living.
If you want to watch the video, Why Metal Music Makes You Calmer, before we start, the link is in the description. Enjoy the interview. Just to introduce you, you are both a metal singer and do some crazy, crazy sounds, which are amazing, but also you're a psychiatric nurse, so you've got a very diverse background.
Yeah, yeah. And the funny thing is that when I take one to the other side, for example, when I'm in the metal scene with my friends or fans or other bands, and that they know my job, we have very interesting discussion about it, because it's something that psychiatry fascinates people, especially in the metal scene, because it's quite a common theme to talk about mental illness and psychiatry and everything. So I always pay attention when I write lyrics for Benighted to keep the disease with the real symptoms and to keep it very close to reality for people to understand how the mind works and not Hollywood illusion and cliche that we can have about what it is to be a schizophrenic guy or a schizophrenic woman. And on the other side, I bring a lot of my music with Benighted and music in general in psychiatry, because I make a lot of music with my patients, and most of my patients know the kind of music I do. And surprisingly, they find it very funny, because most of the time they go on YouTube or something to check what's Julienne doing as a music, and they watch the music videos and they come back the day after and say, "Hey, Julienne, I check on your music video. Seriously, you have a problem." and I say, "Yeah, we all do." It's great, because it breaks some kind of standard and lines in the way they have to see a nurse. It helps me to get in trust with them even more easily because of my appearance, because I'm bald with a lot of tattoos. So when the patient see me arrive as a nurse, the first reaction, of course, it's to be suspicious, you know, and a bit mistrustful, because I look kind of scary. But when they see the big teddy bear that I can be with my way to talk, and I'm someone very, you know, warming for people, and we can work very fast, because trust is what I think is the most important thing in psychiatry with a patient. It's the trust, because when they trust you, they can start to listen and believe what you say, what you explain them about how the disease work, and how they can maybe handle a bit the symptoms and recognize when they feel bad and it's normal, or when they feel bad and they are close to the crisis, so we have to do something. Mm-hmm. And when you have this kind of trust with the patient, it's 80% of the work done. So the music is a huge tool for me in my work as well.
I want to talk about that in a bit. But what I want to touch on is the Hollywood idea of mental illness. I thought that was really interesting. And whether you think that there is a right and a wrong way to portray different mental illnesses.
That's something that pisses me a lot. For example, this kind of movie, like, you know, like the movie called Split, the promotion goes along with it's taken from a true story or something like that. For people who doesn't know how the mental illness works, they all think that schizophrenic people are someone with 20 different personalities in their head. And it gives a very bad image of the patient who are suffering with this kind of disease, which is already very hard to live with. Mm-hmm. But you don't need this kind of gigantic cliche at the top of it, because their life is already very hard. In the Benighty lyrics, from when I start to write very seriously about the story of patients and explaining symptoms and very hard and morbid situations about schizophrenic people in the Benighty lyrics, the only thing that you can find in every album is that there is never a single time where they hurt somebody else than themselves. Because we also have, because of the movies and everything, that schizophrenic people are very dangerous people who can try to kill you in the street or something like that, which is totally untrue, because I think the most vulnerable people in the world, and they are very dangerous for themselves before they're being very dangerous for society. And it's terrible to have a patient coming to you and say, hey, I watched the movie, for example, the movie Split. I watched this movie and I was told that I was schizophrenic, but it's not me at all. So what's wrong with me? I'm not a normal schizophrenic, you know, this kind of thing that you can get, because it's totally untrue what you can see in the movies. And it makes a very bad publicity to people who are very suffering with this kind of disease.
Do you feel like, and not just with schizophrenia, do you feel like the labels for these kind of mental illnesses can be helpful for people as well? Or do you feel like it's not good to put them in a box and say, you are this and these are the symptoms?
The problem is that a lot of people have a lot of ideas about what schizophrenia can be, but they don't know what it is. So it's kind of normal to when you have to fight with something that scares you, to put it in a box with a sticker on it, and you say, okay, so this is schizophrenia, I got it. So everything which is not like this is not schizophrenia, so I feel safe. Of course, it doesn't work. When you have this kind of disease, of course, it affects your personality, but you are a person before being a sick people. And it's important for this kind of people to understand that they don't resume themselves with their disease. I mean, their disease is just something that makes them suffer every day, and they have to learn to live with that and recognize the symptoms and everything, and to be able to have the most normal life possible. And this kind of publicity doesn't help them at all.
How does music affect the patients that you work with? And in what ways does it benefit people?
Well, for the patient I take care of, the first thing is that music gathers them with other people. Because when you have a psychosis, one of the first things the disease tells you is that you have to be careful with other people around you. And that's why people are getting more withdrawn and more withdrawn all the time. And when we enjoy music together at my hospital, it's a time with many people that you share something with them. And you have to take a place in that, because your place is important. I need you to do the drums. I need you, I don't know, just to do a rhythm on the table, and it works. You don't know how to do more, but it's already okay. Do that, and you will see with everyone around you, it will make something that works all together, and we will create something together. Also, of course, all the disease and the medications, of course, it damages the brain a lot, you know, in a neurological way of speaking. Music and listening to music and create music, lyrics, enjoying it, paying attention, you know, being in time, it trains your brain to be active, not let the delirium take all the place inside. I mean, it saves all your capacities of thinking, of being able to switch from the delirium to, oh, someone is talking to me and I can answer him, because my brain is trained to that. I learned how to do that despite my disease. Of course, the emotional is very, very important, because music, I think we all have a specific kind of music, or maybe more, which makes us feel emotions. For schizophrenic people, emotions are something which are very difficult to identify. With music, they can put words and also sometimes make drawings about what they feel when they listen to a kind of music. And we can talk about it and share. I feel the same as you. That's funny because you find this music sad. I find it pretty joyful. So let's talk about it. And you share with people and they feel understood and they don't feel judged.
I think I was reading that you work on some of these things for quite a long period of time, for 18 months with people. Is that right?
At the hospital I'm working in, it's patients, they take their medication, they are pretty stabilized, and we work on everything that the psychosis damages. So we have some very short projects, something that can be done in 2 or 3 times, and we have album recordings, which are, of course, longer, because these patients sometimes come for many years in the hospital, I mean. Mm-hmm. They go back to their place at the evening. They just come for the day. We work together, and they go back to their home at the end of the day. So we take time to see who can play what instrument, who feels like writing lyrics, and we create a group of, for example, 4 or 5 writers, and we make some sessions of lyrics writing. We make it match with the music that we create with the other patients. And then we rehearse like a normal band. I do exactly like I do with Benighted. I mean, we write lyrics, we adapt it on music, and then we rehearse it to be able to play it and to sing it. Everybody has a role to play, patients or nurse. So we all have a role. For example, I play a bit drums, very bad, but I play a bit drums. And of course, we don't care about the quality of the professionalism of the result. Doesn't have to be perfectly in time. The most important is at the end to be able to say, hey, I did this in the band and look, it's not that bad. It's good. I mean, for months we rehearse, and then I call a friend of mine who has a recording studio. And then my colleagues bring a group, for example, of 5 patients who come to the recording studio to record their parts or sing the lyrics they have to sing. It's a very intense moment, really. Such an intense and nice moment because they really try. You know, it's for someone who's not sick, it's already very impressive for the first time to, you know, to have the headphones and being in front of a microphone, and you have someone behind the window say, "It's you, it's now." It's very stressful for someone who's not sick. So can you imagine when you have hallucinations, a treatment, a medication that close down a bit your thought, you have to stay focused and you have to record it. It's a huge effort for them, but they do it. And after that, they feel like exhausted, and I feel exhausted as well. But we are so happy of the moment we shared together, and at the end, the result they got, because when everything is done, we work on an artwork, a layout for the CD. With some money from the hospital, we send it to be printed professionally, and all the patients can go back someday with their own albums at home to their parents and friends and everything, saying, hey, we made an album and I recorded this. Here it's my voice. I played this instrument. In these songs, I write all these parts. And it's very, you know, because they have a very bad self-esteem, and everything that can make them something else that someone who's sick. Because in their family, most of the time, they have the place of the sick person. Mm-hmm. In the hospital, they have a sick person. In the street, they have a sick person. For this moment, they are a singer, they are a lyrics writer, they are a guitarist. And it keeps them going and fighting against the disease. And it gives them the strength to keep on living.
Yeah, that's so nice.
And in terms of the journey that you observe over a long period of time, say over 18 months, do you feel like there is a journey that you see repeated among multiple people, or do you feel like everyone is so different that this music therapy affects them in completely different ways?
Completely different ways, because even if you have the same disease, you have many, many forms of symptoms that you can develop, and you have light form of schizophrenia, severe form of schizophrenia. We have a lot of bipolar disorder persons. Therapy goals are different from a people to another, but it helps them evolve on the side that they need to. With my colleagues, when we do this kind of project, we think about how it can help each and every one of them in their specific ways, not in a global and general way, but in very, very precise way.
Did you set up the recording sessions yourself?
Yeah, of course.
You did it. Ah, oh, super nice. What made you want to do that?
Music is a huge part of my life, a huge part of my personality as well. I noticed because I work in psychiatry for 20 years now, I think, I noticed that when you want to help people, the best tool you can have is a tool that already helps yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you share it with authenticity, and people welcome it way easier. And they trust you because they feel it comes from your guts. It's something true. For example, if I would do the same for, like, take care of your hair, we will do something about haircuts and you will see it's fantastic. Of course, it wouldn't work because it doesn't come to me. But it's not something coming from me, so it wouldn't work as well as something that I really believe in and that I want to share with them.
So within the video, we discussed a lot about stereotypes and identity. And one of the interesting things that came up was the identity of being a metalhead was quite a calming and supportive network to be part of. But there was also another side of that, people not allowing other people from outside of their group or not accepting people from outside of that group. And what do you think about that? And where do you draw the line between a lovely supportive community and then no one else is allowed in?
I don't know. I mean, the stereotypes are always things that must be fought, I guess. And it reminds me of something very funny from yesterday. I was just shopping and I arrived and you have this people in the huge mall who makes you taste, you know, like cheese or candies so you can buy it or something. And I was just walking. I saw this woman. I think she was 50 or 55 or something, and totally not metal. She saw my tattoos. She had her plate and I was about to take something and she put it the plate back and said, "Hey, metal!" And I was like, "That was so cool." And I asked her, "You listen to this kind of music?" I said, "Yeah, of course." And she really didn't look metal at all. And I found it fucking fantastic that we had this connection just because she didn't look metal at all. I looked a bit more metal than her. But it wasn't a limit between the connection we could get because, you know, in a mall in the middle of many, many people, and we had this connection for, I don't know, 2 minutes. But it was good. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. I actually think that we found the metal community as a whole to be one of the most welcoming and warm communities that we've ever been exposed to. And I think that it's interesting because the perception of that community is often the opposite of that it's the most entrenched in aggression and that therefore it's going to be the least welcoming. But actually, I think we definitely found, talking to people, that the metal community was one of the warmest out there. Is that been your experience as well?
I never saw people being rejected by metalheads or something because they're just interested in getting in touch and understand what it was. When I see all the experiences I got about people from the outside, you know, for example, people from my work, when I brought them to the metal community at a concert or something because they wanted to discover something, even if the music wasn't not really their thing, they all came back saying, "Wow, but I love the atmosphere that you've got in your concert. Everybody is so friendly. You have people coming to you. You don't know them. They're just, 'Hey, I'm ordering beer. Do you want one?'" I said, "Okay." And they didn't meet this anywhere else. So that I think, I don't know the other music styles enough to be able to compare because I'm pretty ignorant about other music styles. So I wouldn't judge them, but we have the luck to have, I think, a very welcoming community. Even if, of course, our appearance at first is pretty scary and pretty, which should lead to mistrust. Yeah.
It's really interesting. And we spoke to Melissa Cross and we went over this a little bit as well. And she spoke about feeling like she would be intimidated working as a vocal coach in this industry by big, scary metal singers. And obviously that being as far from the truth as possible. But I actually think from the people that we spoke to as well, there is no one physical stereotype. I just wondered from someone who does kind of fit some of those stereotypes, whether you felt like you had that physical identity or whether you were influenced by the music that you liked and the people that inspired you within that music industry.
my appearance wouldn't be the same, I guess, if I wasn't listening to this kind of music, of course. And I think I've been inspired, of course, by the community standards. It's a kind of culture, and I really like the aesthetic side of our musical culture with the tattoos and everything. It really talks to the child inside me, which was very scared of monsters and everything when I was young. It's very funny to when I think of it to say, hey, no, with my physical appearance, I could be the monster for someone who doesn't know me. It's some kind of resonance which speaks me a lot, because everybody who would come to me with this metal stereotypes would immediately understand in my way of being that there's nothing to be scared of, because I'm someone very welcoming and very open to talk to anyone. So I really like it, because I think it reassures me inside also that all the monsters that you can have when you're a child and when you're an adult, I talk in the symbolic way, of course, maybe they are not that scary. Just because you never face them and you say, well, no, look, it's something nice, and I had no reason to be scared.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, quick fire round. Here we go. Tea or coffee?
Oh, coffee. And trust me, when you work at the hospital, it's pretty rare to not like coffee, because coffee can be your friend in many occasions, even if, of course, it's not that good for health. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of coffee.
Music or lyrics?
Music. Even if I write lyrics, I always prefer music, of course.
Cats or dogs?
I'm a dog man.
Creativity or logic?
Creativity. And a morbid one in my perspective and in my character.
Plane or train?
Plane. I never take train. I don't, because I live in a very small village, and when I have to go to a long distance, I always choose plane, because it's way easier for me.
Beer or wine?
I drink more beer, but I'm French, so I'm gonna go with wine. And of course, red wine.
Of course. Sweet treats or savory snacks?
Sweet treats.
City or countryside?
Countryside, definitely. I couldn't go back to cities now. I feel so good in small village where a lot of nature around. I couldn't go back to cities now.
Matching or odd socks?
I don't understand the question. Tell me again.
So socks, do you have pairs of socks or would you wear odd socks? What do you prefer?
I don't know. No, same socks. Sorry.
The correct answer in my book every day of the week.
I traumatize Tom by wearing odd socks all the time. And he's like, no. Guitar or piano?
Maybe more guitar, but I'm bad with both. I get two big fingers.
Friday night in or Friday night out?
Friday night out.
Modern or vintage?
It depends on what, because I'm definitely an old school guy, but maybe not for clothes, but for everything else, I would say vintage.
Black and white or Technicolor?
Oh, black and white.
Moose or mouse?
Oh my God, I don't understand that.
moose? Like a moose? Yeah. Or like a mouse? Like.
I really love Canada, so I'm gonna go with moose.
Here is the part of the podcast where I give you a fun fact. Now, music and sound has always been part of ancient medicine with things like singing bowls. However, it is increasingly being used in modern medicine. In fact, it could be used to treat Parkinson's disease. Vibroacoustic therapy involves using low-frequency sound, which sounds similar to a low rumble, to produce vibrations that are then directly applied to the body. In 2009, researchers led by Lauren K. King found that short-term use of vibroacoustic therapy with Parkinson's disease patients led to improvements in symptoms, including less rigidity, better walking speed with larger steps, and reduced tremors. There is still so much to learn about how music affects the body, but I will be fascinated to watch how music gets incorporated into medicine as we learn more. Something that we found in this video, and one of the comments we got a lot, and it's really funny because it's really opposite from both of us, is that people like to go to sleep listening to metal. And for me, I couldn't at all go to sleep listening to metal. Yeah. I have to sometimes put on like some, just like a gentle sound of the wind or something. But like, yeah. Is that something that you could fall asleep to?
A few years ago, I used to fall asleep with metal as well, but I stopped. And I think silence or night noises.
Both people that, like, for men, but I think for some other.
That help you express healthily as every person, because I think it gives people. Overwhelming majority of
people who listen to metal music. Correlation.
because I think that we don't. Depression and what someone who is just not feeling
lose appetite when you normal at a pathological level of depression, or if you just need some you need a medication, because the very huge symptoms with water, I need to dry myself, and it sounds already like a huge mountain to climb, and they just don't do it because they don't have the strength for that. That's depression. It's mm-hmm. not having crying moments every day, once per day for a it can be a giant help if it's not a pathological depression. It's very important to split, because depression nowadays, it means everything and nothing. With feeling bad is so unbearable now that, you ask your doctor, say, give me pills. It's not normal that I feel sad. If it's not normal that I cry, I must be sick. I can go to work. So it means that I'm sick, because I can't go to work because I feel bad. No. You feel bad, that's true, and it would not be a good idea to go to work. You need to rest, you need to see your friends, you need to have some things that cheer you up, and you have to keep these times where you feel bad, and when you cry, and when you let things go out, because that's the healthy process of mourning, of grief, and it's nothing, it's not a disease.
Because I think a lot of people, as you said before, people are feeling really bad in general right now just because people are in lockdown. You can't see your friends. You don't have your support network and all those things.
Yeah, we are not sick. We just feel miserable because we have a lot of what makes us happy taken off from us. So that's normal to feel sad and to feel miserable. Sometimes I have some guys who write me on private message that without Benighted, they'd probably be dead because... Our music really helped them going through hard times. Most of the time, it's people it helps them. We are listening to the same music. This kind of connection and negative, so you say it's probably because I have a huge problem. That can help you even in as long as you are not
imagine at times extremely taxing to be exposed to that kind of level of emotion.
And out, of course, music, it's my rugby as well, but I things to keep the balance. And let all the energy get out on stage and with my friends and everything. Yeah.
I actually feel like from having chatted to you a little bit, that that's also quite reflected in your music. I feel like you have quite a lighthearted approach to a lot of these things and obviously quite an experimental approach in your sound as a result. And you don't put restrictions on yourself. You want to play and you want to express in the most ways possible, which I actually feel like people can sometimes think, oh, I'm comfortable here, but you want to experiment as much as possible and express in as many different ways as possible. Is that fair?
Yeah, totally. And the funny thing is that, for example, with the vocals, I feel more and more comfortable doing uncomfortable things because I have my, you know, my vocal standards, which I know very well, and it's very easy for me to do that. But I find even more interesting to experience some things that I don't fully control, that contains more emotion than my standard vocals, because it's a way that I... So I'm not sure where I go, but I am very satisfied with the result at the end, because something that I couldn't do in my safe spot and especially new things. The result is even more
bring with it.
Yeah.
It's this
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.